Well, if you would take your Bibles this morning, open them to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. It's good to see each of the children and the young people with us today. And this is going to be an interesting week or next week for you as school gets started again. And for some, it'll be just another year going back to the same old routine, going back to school. Now, for some, it will be the first time, kindergarten. Either kindergarten 4-year-old or kindergarten 5-year-old, whichever it is. And first time that mom or dad takes the child into school and kid's all excited and has a great day and mom cries her way all the way back to the car and worries all day and the kid just has a great day. By the time he gets to be the third, fourth, or fifth child, it's like, come on, let's go. It's your turn. No tears by then. You get it figured out. So, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, if you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Father, we come to you this morning as we consider this great text and great command. Father, use this time to teach every parent, every grandparent, to teach every child a little bit about the purpose of education and training. And Father, I pray that you would use this time to draw each one to you. Help each of us to be better parents, grandparents, to be a godly influence in the next generation that we're raising up and preparing. And Father, I pray that if there is some here this morning that is without Christ as their Savior or they're uncertain, that today would be that day they would put their faith in you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. I've got a question for you parents. What is your goal for the education and the training of your children? You have them. God's given them to you. You're going to have them for about 18 years by the time they graduate from high school. What is your goal in the educating and the training process for your children? Now, for the children and the teens that are old enough to understand this, let me ask you this. What is your goal in getting your training and having an education? What will you do with it? You see, education has always been an important part here in the United States, and we are unique from many other countries. In some countries, poverty is so widespread that all children, or most children, simply do not get an education. I believe this is one of the things that is significant about America and has made us an industrial and an advanced society is because we have believed that education was important from the very early part of our country. Also, as America is different than many of particularly Islamic countries and others, we believe that both boys and girls ought to have an education. In many of these places, only boys get to get an education and girls have been excluded from the educational process. But there's something else that has been unique about the American education in its history. Very early, and I believe this is what made America great in its greatness, and leaving this is what is destroying America. Very early in America, you'll find that the first schools were the local churches. The first teachers were pastors, and the first textbook was the Bible. This was the education of early America. Now, somebody would say, well, all they had was the King James, and that's such a hard Bible to read. How could they read it? Interestingly enough, the King James was written on a fifth grade level. And I just learned recently that they have done a computer-generated comparison of the King James translation with all the other new translations, and they still come down and said the King James is the easiest to read because it uses more one and two syllable words. It is less wordy. And they gave all the reasons. So the people that try to tell you the others are easier to read, that's a part of a myth to take you away from biblical truth. But that's another message. But they used it as their textbook. You see, the original purpose of education was so that every child would be able to read the Bible personally and on his own be able to know God. Now, that doesn't minimize the need of a local church. That has its place likewise. But the original purpose of education was so that every boy and every girl growing up could read the Word of God, know God, know God's commands, know how to live, understood what it meant to be saved, and understand what it means to be lost. Long time ago, education has changed its philosophy as far as government education. Today, our government schools have banned prayer, banned almost Christianity in its entirety, and they are now the bastions of societal change, prepping for a one-world socialist government. And so things have changed big time. Now, as we come back to Proverbs 22:6, God's Word has a great deal to say about parents training their children. And a great deal as for children, what they should learn and what is essential for them to learn. For those who have kids that have not yet started school, you've got a great foundation to build on. What are you going to do with it? And you can see from God's Word what God's plans are, both for parents as well as for children, in training up another generation. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. This is a direct command of God. It's not a suggestion. It's not just a great idea. But this is a command by God that is given to parents, that you're to train up a child in the way they should go. Please understand, children are a stewardship of the parents. And part of this societal change into socialism is they're trying to present the idea that children are a ward of the state. Several years ago, when I pastored in Nebraska, we were fighting a battle with the state of Nebraska over church schools. And one of the things that the Nebraska Education Association was trying to argue was that children were a ward of the state. In other words, the state had the right to tell us if we could teach them or what we could teach them, and it was their responsibility to teach them. That is a lie according to God's Word. You would expect that from a communist country to say that. You would accept that from a tyrannical socialist and a dictator to say that, so they can brainwash the children into what they want. But God's Word teaches us that children belong to the parent and they're a stewardship for each and every parent. In Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, we see the beginning of the family at creation. One man, Adam, one woman, Eve, married and commanded to reproduce and raise children. As you go through the Bible and as you study, we understand that God gives the responsibility to parents to teach their children. In Deuteronomy 6, we'll not go there right now, but in Deuteronomy 6, I encourage you to read that chapter. There it instructs the parents. When you get up in the morning, teach them about God. When you go to bed at night, teach them about God. When you sit down to eat, teach them about God. Put it on the doorpost. I suppose it would have said, put it on the refrigerator front. If they had refrigerators then, they didn't. It says, when you walk along the way, teach them about God. All of life's situations are an opportunity to teach the children about God. In Psalm, if you'll turn to Psalm 127. Again, we understand that children belong to the family and not to the state. In Psalm 127, And beginning with verse 3, God's word says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord." That word heritage means it's a gift that's been passed down from one generation to another. It also talks about a stewardship. When you have a heritage, there is a stewardship to preserve it and to protect it. And we know that he's talking about the family. He says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man." It didn't say happy is the government, but happy is the man, talking about a father, "that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." So here we understand the psalmist teaches us that this is a marvelous thing. Family is not an interruption into the life. They are a heritage. When you marry and you start having a family and you have kids, every child is a gift from God. What are you going to do with it? Him or her, not it. But every child, whether God gives you one child, a dozen children, I've heard where they have 17, 19, the Guinness World Book of Records is up into the 60s. I see some people raising their eyebrows. Yes, one woman had over 60 kids, a Russian, goes back a few years. I don't recommend you try to break that record. But regardless how many children God gives you, they're a gift from God. Love them. Use the opportunity to train them and raise them up and show them the great truths that God has given and preserve that godly heritage. In Galatians, turn over to Galatians. Here's something else we understand about training up another generation. In Galatians chapter 4. And again, we understand that this brings the responsibility back into the home and the father as the head of the household in the responsibility of training and raising children. Chapter 4, book of Galatians, verse 1. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." And he's talking about a child that's in even a high-class family, a royal family. He said he's a child, nothing more than a servant, until he comes of age. Do you know what we have a problem with? Mom and dad's a servant and kids are ruling the roost. That's ruining a home. Understand, parents, you're in charge. You should have a godly charge, but you're in charge, and especially dads. You have a great responsibility with this in teaching and raising them up. And then it goes on to say, "but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father." Now, there are some choices here. I'm sure there were those in that day where mom and dad did the teaching. They could not afford tutors to teach their kids. There were those that were wealthy that could afford and hire tutors and governors to teach their children. There were those that were wealthy enough, there were probably certain schools that they could afford to put their children in. The bottom line is, and the decision falls with the father's leadership, not as a dictator, but the father has the leadership of training and raising up his children. And you have the choice. Now, we have these choices here in Colorado. You can homeschool. You can be a part of a church school. You could choose the government school. There's choices. But in those choices, we're going to look at what ought to be your ultimate goal in training. And those choices you make should measure up to that, or failure, spiritually speaking, will follow. But we see that it gives choices. Now, for my wife and I, We had our kids in homeschooling part of the time and in a church school part of the time. Only those two options. Now, there are those that would say, well, the church school is the only option you should ever consider, and act as though there are no other options. There are options. There are some that would say homeschool is the only option you should consider. Now, for some parents, that's not workable. They need to have them in a church school. There are options. But you need to make that choice, and every home has that opportunity to make that choice. But make it wisely and make a godly choice as you follow through with that. But first of all, understand it is a command to the parents to train up your children. And we'll talk about the way in just a moment. Parents, I said, do have a choice about training up their children. But remember, your choice will make a difference in their life. Who you choose to train your children will determine the course of life your kids will take. Now stop to think about this. School takes a lot of time. It used to be it started at 9 and went till 3. There's 6 hours. Now I think it goes beyond 3 and starts before 9 o'clock, maybe as early as 8 o'clock or earlier. The school system has your child, whatever system of education you choose, is going to take between 6 and 7 hours a day, 5 days a week, over 9 months a year. 7 hours a week, 5 days a week, 35 hours a week. And you take that time, the number of weeks that the educational system has your child, it will indoctrinate your child. It will direct the course of your child. It will either draw your child's heart closer to God or draw it away from God. Choices matter. And choices equals results. Turn back to Proverbs with me. It talks about parents that make bad choices and what they get from it. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Now, I realize a child can have the best of training and the most godly of training. And because they have a free will, they can rebel against God. But you put a child in a wicked training program, and you increase the probability of raising a rebel. And the training of children always produces results. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son make a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Verse 5, he that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Turn to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. Verse 21. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. Also look at Proverbs 29. Proverbs chapter 29, beginning with verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself, without parental discipline, without parental correction, without parental direction, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, do you know how the wicked are multiplied? When you train kids in the wrong way. Transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest, yet he shall give delight unto thy soul. How you train your child and the choice of education you pick for your children will determine the results and the course of their life. You don't have to go far to talk to parents that have kids. I mean 8, 10, and 12, let alone 13, 14, 15, and 16, whose hearts are literally broken and at despair and at their wits' end because they've raised little rebels that have already broken their hearts. You talk to parents that have kids that have turned into their 20s and into their 30s, and they're living out the results of what they've learned and living in wickedness, and it brings heartbreak and heartache to the parents. You can look anywhere and everywhere, and you find heartbroken parents. But you know what I have discovered? Not exclusively, but most parents that have a great delight in their children that have grown are parents who have been committed to raise their children to love God. And they have some disappointments, but by and large, they are delighted in what they see in their children. The choice of education will make a difference. You see, the counsel and the training that you put them under does make a difference. In Psalm chapter 1, the very first Psalm, many have read and memorized Psalm 1. Do you want your children to be blessed? Do you want them to be blessed of God? Notice what God's Word says just in the first verse of Psalm 1. It said, "Blessed is the man." Now, it could be the daughter or the son. And you say, I want my child to grow up and be blessed of God. I want my son to be blessed of God. I want my daughter to be blessed of God. Notice what it says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Where you choose to have them trained, will they sit in the counsel of the ungodly? Or do you choose not to have them sit in the counsel of the ungodly? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Do the teachers scorn at God? Do they counsel away from God? Have you put them to sit there in their counsel? Stop to think about that. Here's another passage. Turn to Proverbs 19. Here's another direct command. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. And you know what? That's a direct command to every believer. And as an adult, and this is one of the verses that was a determination for Mrs. Miller and I that we were going to be certain that our children received a godly education. We grew up in a government school. They're called public schools, but they're really government schools. We grew up, and we were sick and tired of hearing teachers try to tell us there is no God, and want to fight against God. And I'm sure that is even more so today in the teachings than ever. And we decided if God told me to cease from hearing the words that cause thee to err, I wasn't going to put my kids in a place that would cause them to err from God's truth. So there is a direct command. Turn also to Colossians. These are warnings that God has given about training up our children. Colossians chapter 2. He says, beware. We do a lot of visitation, going from door to door and inviting people to come to church and want to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a sign that we frequently see on doors and gates. Beware of the dog. I saw one that said, forget the dog, beware of the owner. That one was more scary. But beware of dog. Now, I've been bit by a dog. It's been a long time ago, and it wasn't on church visitation. I happened to go someplace to for whatever the reason was. It had nothing to do with visitation or even the church ministry. And I got bit by a dog. And so and it wasn't the big dog, it was a little dog. I'm thankful for that because all I could get was the leather of my boot out of the deal. But when it says beware, and I hear dogs barking, my guard is on, for sure. In fact, when the screen door doesn't look like it's going to shut real good and I hear these big dogs barking, when they open the door, I have my foot against the screen so the dog can't come out. There's just a few little tricks of the visitation that you learn for safety reasons. That's kind of wise. Now, once they're there and they want to come out, I move my foot, but I don't let that dog come out and have lunch before they get a chance to control the dog. You know, the word beware. Here it says, beware lest any man, not just certain, but any man, spoil you. How? Through philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You see, there is a real danger. Because the counsel and the training and the learning that we listen to influences our lives. Now then, also the companions. Where you put your kids will make a difference in the friends that they make. Turn back to Proverbs with me. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. And verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You see, who you pick for friends does make a difference. Now, parents, so many times we are concerned about the kids our kids run with. And we should be. And we should be guarded. Because friends are one of the biggest thieves of stealing a heart and stealing your kid's heart. And so you should be guarded as to who your kids pick for a friend. But folks, this doesn't just say children. Even for you and I as adults, we have to be careful who we pick for our friends, because our friends, if they're not godly and if they don't want to encourage you in God, they can steal your heart away from God. And so we need to be careful of the friends that we pick. Proverbs 28, verse 27. And I wrote down the wrong reference there. I'll have to find that one and later, but it dealt the same thing with that of friendship. In 1 Corinthians 15, 33, it says, evil communications corrupt good manners. Be careful who your friends are. Somebody said that they wanted to teach their sparrow how to chirp and sing like a canary. So they put the canary in with the sparrow. The problem was the canary began chirping like the sparrow and never began, the canary began chirping like the sparrow and the sparrow never sang like the canary. You see, evil communications corrupt good manners. In Psalm 119, I believe it is verse 63, the psalmist says, I love them that love thy law. The choice of friends make a difference. And so where you put your kids can make a difference of how they pick their friends. Now, lest you think that I believe that every child in a church school is the making of a good friend, that's wrong. Quite frankly, there can be some wicked kids in a church school. Parents want them there, the kids don't want to be there. Parents want the right thing, but they've done some wrong things in the home, and that's one reason it's a problem in the school. Likewise, parents with homeschooling. Lest you think, I think, that every child in a homeschool environment is a godly child. You're wrong. You'll find that there's some ungodly children in homeschool environments. And so you have to teach in every environment how to pick right friends. So we must be careful with that. Now then, I said it as a command back to Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child. That's a direct command. Every parent, that is directed to you. But notice the rest of that statement. In the way he should go. You see, there's God's way versus man's way. Jesus Christ said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You'll find that in God's way, it's all truth and there's no falsehood and there's no deception. There's God's way and there's man's way of training. And in this, he's commanding the parents to train up a child in God's way in training up a child. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And verse 13 and 14. You see, one of the challenges is that as Christians and Bible-believing Christians, is we've been accused of being narrow-minded. That's not all bad. Now, I don't want to be bullheaded like the one preacher said. He says, I'm so narrow-minded, I can look through the keyhole with both eyes at the same time. That's narrow-minded. But do you know the way of God is narrow? I want you to notice in verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And praise God for the few. And there are those here this morning that are a part of the few that find that narrow way, and you rejoice in it, and you look to see how God's going to provide. And so first of all, the course, it is a way, but there is God's way. Now I want to give you, within God's way of training up a child, five essential courses that needs to be taught to every child growing up. Course number one, every Christian parent must teach their child about salvation. You will find in Matthew 19:14 where the children were wanting to come around the Lord Jesus Christ and the adults were saying, get them away from here, get them away from here. Jesus Christ said, suffer the little children to come unto me. And except you come as a child in faith. And he said the kingdom of God it includes children. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, God is not slack concerning his promises. And then it goes on to say that he's not willing that any should perish. Every child that is born in the world, God wants them to hear how to be saved. And let me encourage every parent this morning to teach your child God's way of salvation. Now, I realize it is their choice, and I encourage you not to coerce or manipulate them into making a false choice, because you'll regret it later. But teach every child. Now, that means you need to know how to show them how to be saved yourself. But every child deserves the opportunity to hear the gospel and to have a life that is new life in Christ and an abundant life and eternal life. Every child deserves that opportunity. There are some adults that say, well, I don't want it, God. I'm going to reject God. But don't make that choice for your child. If you want to make that choice for yourself, don't make it for your child. Give him or her the opportunity to make that choice. Because God above is not willing that any should perish. You see, for them to understand salvation. And let me take a moment to explain salvation. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every individual is born a sinner. Everyone has the sin nature. Everyone has the condemnation of God upon them. In John chapter 3, it says that whoever believes not is already under condemnation. But whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we understand that eternal life has been paid for through the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's hill to pay sin atonement. And he opens it up to whosoever believeth on him. And we come through repentance where we understand the sinfulness of sin and that it's wrong, and we agree with God against sin, and we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Every child deserves the opportunity to hear that, to make their choice. That is God's way. The second great course that we must teach every child, every Christian parent must teach their child God's ultimate purpose for their life. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20. You see, God has a purpose for every believer. And you'll discover there's a lot of people that are meandering through life without purpose in life. And God has given purpose. Every believer has this purpose. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In chapter 10, verse 31, it says, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. When a child understands that their whole life's purpose is about glorifying God, no matter where they go, what they do, what they say, how they live, their attitude, everything is about glorifying God, that will influence every decision they make in life. And it will help them to make right choices. And so every child needs to be taught, number one, how to be saved. And after a child is saved, every Christian child needs to be taught that God has a purpose for their life, and their total life is about glorifying God. The average parent, whether directly or indirectly, frequently teaches them to live a very self-centered life, producing some very miserable and misdirected young people. Course number three. Every Christian parent must teach their child how to have a personal relationship with the Lord. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 and 37, a scribe came up, or a lawyer came up, and asked Jesus, what's the greatest command of all? He said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. In 1 John, we're told that we love him because he first loved us. You see, when you love someone, there is a personal relationship. They need to understand that it is not simply a religion, not something that we mechanically live, but there is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ every day. We need to teach them that there is a great fellowship. How to listen to God. You say, well, how do you listen to God? God speaks to us through His Word. Teach them how to hear from God by reading His Word. As you read His Word, you know, you'll learn great truths. And God shows you great truths out of the Word of God. And so you listen. How to talk to God, how to pray, and how to listen. How to ask God questions. They sit down to read God's Word and to hear from God, and they have a question. God, should Junior so-and-so be my buddy? How do we choose whether that should be your friend or not? Help them to search the scriptures and ask God questions. Father, did my attitude please you today? Or teach your children how to have compassion for other children and the lost children, and even ask, Lord, how can I witness to my friend at school today? Father, would you teach me how to be a godly testimony to my class? Now, I know in a government school, there are restrictions of how you can witness. But do you know what? There's no restriction on your heart. And you can ask God how to be a godly witness. Teach your children how to ask God questions. And then study the scripture and get answers from God to direct their life. Teach every child how to have a personal, real, intimate relationship with God. Now, parents, you need to do that too. But it is possible. And I believe that's something we need to teach our children. Then course number 4. Every parent must teach their child to have a godly ambition. Now, there's nothing wrong with being ambitious as long as the ambition is godly. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. To have a pursuit in life. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Every Christian parent needs to teach their child to have a godly ambition to seek after the things of God and God's righteousness. This will be one of the greatest ambitions that you can teach any child. Now, this does not nullify understanding how to have a job and a career and a life's calling. We're not teaching that there should be indolence and laziness and slackerness. The Bible teaches against that. It says that a man that won't provide for his own ought to be counted as worse than an infidel. It says if a man won't work, he ought not to eat. The Bible teaches personal responsibility how to work. But it needs to be brought under the umbrella of seeking God's kingdom and seeking righteousness and brought under that umbrella. And then fifthly, every Christian parent must teach their children a godly passion. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 15, a passion to study God's word. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Teach them to have a passion for God's word. Do you know what? Life is full of questions. And tough questions. And tough issues. And struggles, and trials, and conflicts. And the Bible has an answer for every issue of life. Your kids are going to grow up with a lot of questions. You're going to grow older with a lot of questions. The Bible has the answer to every issue of life. Teach them to have a passion to study God's word, to find the answer. And see, we're talking about teaching them how to have individual responsibility. You don't want to raise them so they're under your thumb for the next 50 to 80 years. You want to teach them to have personal responsibility, how to go to the scripture and find answers. How to go to the well and find encouragement. Now, there's times we need to family to help us with this, and we need a pastor to help us with this. But sometimes they're just simply not available, and you're all alone. Teach them how to find help from God and answers from God through His Word, because they're there. These five, and I'm sure we could find more. It'll teach you about spiritual warfare, how to resolve conflicts, how to work, what to do in serving, personal battles. You'll find God's answers for every issue of life. Parents, does your choice of training up your children include these five essential courses in the raising and training of your children? Children and young people, you need to understand that your choices during school and school days will make a difference and help set the direction of your life's course. Sad to say, but there will be a lot of school kids that will make bad choices this year. That'll make a mess of their life for years to come. Don't be one of them. Be determined to make right choices throughout the school year. In Galatians chapter 6, 7 through 9, we're given four promises of God. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." There's promise number one. Whatever you sow in the training of your kids, the philosophy, the counsel, the direction, the instruction, whatever you sow, you will reap. It's a principle in harvest. You plant corn seed, you get corn. You plant radish seeds, you're not going to get carrots, you're going to get radishes. This is a guaranteed promise, and it's observable even in the nature and science itself. And it's a spiritual truth. There's a promise. What you sow this year, you will reap in your children. Promise number two goes on. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." Now there's promise number two. Whatever you sow in your child's life of the flesh and of this world will produce a harvest of corruption in that flesh. And we're talking about spiritual corruption. That's promise number two. So choose your seed wisely. Then it goes on with a but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's promise number three. Isn't that exciting? If you will sow spiritual things in your kids, God's promised that you can reap spiritual things. Now again, I realize kids have a choice to make. But if you'll sow it in a spiritual fashion and sow spiritual truth, it will bring its harvest as well. And here is promise number four. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And that is a promise of hope and encouragement to every parent. Training up a child is a lengthy journey. A minimum of 18 years, and we thought when our kids graduated and went to college and then married and had their own kids, maybe some of that was over. But you know what? We're still sowing in their lives. We're still counselors in their lives. They still come to mom and dad when they have crises and want to have help. Now, we don't offer counsel unless they ask it, because you'll just shoot yourself in the foot if you do. But train them so they'll want to. They enjoy coming to you and want to glean from the spiritual lessons you've learned. And it says there's hope. Now, I realize you're going to go through some seasons with kids. They talk about the terrible twos, and then they talk about turning 13 and all these different ages and the great crises and the teenagers. And you may feel like, whoa, did we hit a hopeless period? No. If you will sow in the Spirit, there's hope. There is hope. God's promised that. Parents, are you making godly choices in the training of your children? God's way versus man's way. Children and teens, will you make godly choices throughout this year. Father, we come to you this morning, and as we close, I pray that you would take your word and that the Spirit of God could do a work in each heart and in each life. Father, I pray that they'll have a desire to make godly choices. And as a result of that, Father, I pray that in this next generation that is seated here with us today, that you could raise up godly preachers, godly doctors, missionaries, godly homemakers and wives, godly welders, godly plumbers, faithful servants of the Lord that glorify you in all their life. Help them, O God, I pray. I pray for each parent this morning. I pray that you would give them wisdom, strength, and peace. In Jesus' precious name, amen.